Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. This is it. It's happening. It's been another crazy ass week, man. Stand-up comedy wise.
This has been, I also read somebody, this has been the hardest week aside from my mom dying. This has been like a super hard week. And then somebody said on Twitter that it's because like a lot of people are seem to be having that feeling, and it's because things are coming to a close. And we've been in a sort of frozen mode, right? Trying to get through Trump, trying to get through COVID, and he's coming to an end. And, you know, the people are getting the vaccines. Dodgers, it's like, I haven't gotten one yet, but Dodger Stadium is open as a super vaccine center. So there's the end is near there. And all this anxiety that's 4 years old and 10 months old is going to be unspooling, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, whenever anything changes, or yeah, change is always crazy. I went for a walk today.
Wait, that's your comment on my entire thing I said is change is crazy. Anyway,
I thought about waxing poetic for also another 45 seconds, and granted, we have the time. but I will say, I just thought I would agree and go, because here's my whole thing is every time that I feel like I'm in a groove, there's life changes, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, here's what I was thinking about. You know, when you're a kid and you're told, or someone tells you, or you see it on a movie, that you can do whatever you want, that your life is yours. All you have to do is work hard, go to school, you know, and you'll get some version of some sort of, you know, the thing that you want.
The American lie.
Right, the American lie, except for that it, you know, right. The big lie is that you could be anything and you could do anything if you work hard enough, and that you're entitled to it somehow. Yeah. And that I suppose is the crux of it. Yeah, because what I was thinking was that, you know, my life isn't actually my life. The purpose of life on this planet is, I think, to serve this planet. Mm. Is to be part of the planet. Mm-hmm. It isn't like wanting to be. That's what I've been thinking about. Is that I'm so glad I don't want to be anyone. You know, that I've never wanted to be anyone. I've just wanted to be me,
yeah,
and have fun, which is a gift, because some people won't try to do things because they think they have to be the best at it, and some people won't. Will get really mad because they're not getting the accolades because they're really good at stuff. And I get mad sometimes too, but not like weird storm the Capitol mad, you know, like right. Not that kind of mad. I just get, mm-hmm. Oh, I wish I would have, I can't believe, oh, all right, well, they're doing stand up and I don't get to, and cause I canceled everything.
Right.
And I said that I'm not going to book anything until I am vaccinated. Yeah. I'm not going to do this bullshit where I guess. I'm fucking done. I'm just, right. I can't, I canceled Acme. I can't, because I had this run. It was Colorado, and then it was Missouri, and then it was Michigan, then it was Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was talking to one of my brothers, and he was like, you know, they're rolling out the vaccines. Everybody's getting them. And I was like, yeah, there's 5 million people in Wisconsin. There's 11 million people in my neighborhood.
Right.
You know, it's going to take a second. Yeah. I can't even figure out what tier I am. You know, it's I'm just trying to get my dad vaccinated.
I heard some comics are getting vaccinated because a comic has a day job that puts them in proximity to vaccines. And so some stand-ups are getting vaccinated. Not necessarily even high-level stand-ups, just, you know, like in the scene.
Well, I could also go hang out at Dodger Stadium, wait till the end of the day. They got extra ones. You know, they're just going to go bad if they don't give them to somebody. And so, might as well give.
I mean, I subscribed to a bunch of comedy club emails.
Okay.
It was Lisa Landry's really good tip. She's like, just see who they're headlining, you know?
Oh, and so, wow.
So then I get this email for this chain that I would like to work when everything's done. So I'm not going to like out them, but they featured 26 headlining spots at various clubs. Some of them were one night only, but it was like, that was the draw. And 25 were men.
In the chat.
Oh, which, you want to know the club in the chat?
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to know what you're doing. Cause I, on the other hand, I'm on a lot of email lists and, and they're still doing outdoor shows. This one I'll just say is that they're still, oh, okay. Oh yeah. At forever.
Here's the thing. Like how do you not notice that? Yeah. Like how do you craft that email and put guy, one woman? How do you not notice that? Or do you, I just don't understand that.
Right. Yeah. Quite honestly, fuck all those guys. Cause I am just like, I literally, when I canceled Portland Helium last month, mm-hmm. and it hurt, it genuinely hurt to do it because that guy doesn't book me.
Right.
But then I'm living in a weird magical world where I think that Mark Grossman's going to book me when we're not in a pandemic. He's only booking me like in 1990 when Scott Hansen, when somebody didn't show up.
Right.
I only got booked when the guy that he wanted to book wasn't there, or I was willing to work for shit money, which is what both of those two things were at Helium. So I just, when we get out of this, I just got to build my own thing.
That's what I am building
my own thing, but, and
you
it's,
are.
And you know what? My life is great. I have a very beautiful life where I get to do stand up. If it's on Zoom, it's on Zoom. And I don't mind Zoom. It's going to be a hard transition. Right.
It won't go away, and I'll be happy to do Zoom shows after this, you know. I think a lot of people don't want to go out to nightclubs anymore, you know.
Well, it's almost like anywhere
seeing all the people that are unmasked out dancing, it makes you angry at all those sorts of people, and you just don't want to be out near them, you know.
Well, I was talking to I did a Dork Forest, which is going to come out in a couple of weeks with Andy Main.
Mm-hmm.
Pacific Northwest comic.
Yeah, yeah.
Now lives in Colorado. And
oh wait, no, not Seattle.
No, I think she was a Seattle comic and now lives in Colorado. I believe, I don't think I'm outing her because I believe she says this on the Dork Forest. Is that? Yeah, yeah. I don't know actually. Whatever. But so I'm loath to say it. I'm loath to say it to out like a thing that she did. But the funny thing she said, because I said that I didn't want to do the clubs until I was vaccinated, and then I said I kind of want the audience to be vaccinated too.
Yeah,
and she said then the only people you're performing for are the olds, the old, and then nurses and teachers. And I was like, well, currently, ideally, yes. and it would be, that would be fine. I don't know. I was reminded of my favorite old people. It was with Rontowski, and I forget, it was an all woman show for some reason sold as such. Please shoot me. But I would like the stage time first. And then, so I'm standing on the wings about to go up, and an old lady grabs my wrist like old ladies do. You know, that thing where the grip is death grip.
Yeah.
Pulls me down. And I was like the fourth or fifth comic. And she goes, speak slower and louder. And then she let go of my wrist. And I have to say that I could not have been happier.
I thought I heard, you know, this could be wrong, but Fauci say something like 70% herd immunity and we're back to normal, right? So I don't know if that means 70% vaccinated, but I would imagine we'll get to something like that, right? I mean, you don't want COVID, you know?
No.
And it's easy and it's free. I think it'll be it will get close to that and just be able to return to normal. Although we'll have to, it seems like we have to get it every single year, which is a different pain in the ass, but
really I was reading the difference between people who just got one vaccination. Like how much did that protect you?
Yeah.
And it turns out it protects you like 60%.
Yeah.
But if you get the second one, then it protects you 95% of that's where it becomes greater math that I don't want any part of. But in general, it sounds like it's better to get both of them.
Oh, for sure. And that's just one brand. I think the two other brands are just one shots.
Oh, really?
So I don't, they aren't all two shots. But
so I saw a joke online today about that Pfizer makes Viagra. They were the inventors of Viagra. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you know that their shit works.
Yeah.
Right, because they have saved 1,000 dead dicks, and
I thought it was like bringing. They're used to bringing things back to life, or something like that.
Yeah. It was something like that. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was,
I mean, I hope so. I wonder how it's going to feel. Like right now, I just don't trust anybody. You know. You know,
right.
I see people. I'm like, get the fuck away from me, you know, I'm jealous of the comics that are performing that don't give a fuck, that don't give a fuck about themselves or anybody else, I guess. I don't know. I think, well, if I was like 28, you know, would I? I knew that's who you're mad at. I was drawing it out of you.
So mad. So mad. And the thing is, it's not his fault that he's a straight white guy. And that is what the industry enjoys. Oh my God. Yeah. That person as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know what to make of it. Cause I if I were their age, I might be like, I'm fine. I'm not going to get it. And if I do, it's not going to be much, you know, even though that's not accurate for everybody, but I might think that.
You might think that. And well, and the other weird thing is that, you know, it's just like, and Erin Jackson, I sent her $5 for a cup of coffee because she put it so succinctly on her Instagram. And it was that she has, and it turns out I have vaccine envy. That's exactly what I have. I have envy of those people who have vaccines. And I don't care right now about those three people that we put in the chat, those guys, you know, yeah, fine. You could think that you're invincible and go forth without a vaccination. But I do have, and I don't have envy for them. There is something about performing, obviously, for 220 people on a packed show on a Saturday night. And you just hear them chatting. And then you just go in and you fucking rock it. And then you are happy. Anyway, I have to find my happiness and serenity in another way. And it's more work than the thing that I've worked on for 35 years. Have you ever heard of – what is this guy? It's – have you ever heard of that guy?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because I guess he is like a wannabe – Rush Limbaugh, but also calls himself a comic. And, but he's 10 years in.
I don't know. I don't know him personally.
No, I don't know him personally either, but someone was saying that he was why I was encouraging people on Twitter today to use their powers for good. They're like, oh, are you talking about this guy? And I was like, I'm not talking about that guy because I don't know who that guy is. And then they said, well, he's been doing stand-up like 10 years. And I was like, well, he should call me when he starts doing stand-up.
Jackie, you know how cocky you were at 10 years.
I know how cocky I am at 35 where I'm giving people shit about doing it for 10 years. There's absolutely nothing wrong with doing it for 10 years if you are not an idiot.
Thank you.
How about that?
No one thinks they're an idiot. Everyone thinks they know something.
No, I know that this guy sounds like an idiot. That guy, I read some of my... I followed a rabbit hole because the person on Twitter had DM'd me his name, and I was like, okay, I'll go look into him. And then I looked into him, and I was like, all right. He's just one of these shock jock guys who if that's your jam when you first start doing stand-up and you're a shock jock comic and it lasts more than 2 or 3 years, then you're a shock jock comic, right? Then you know what you're doing. You're doing shocking, shocking material. Mm-hmm. And in 10 years, you've made that choice to do that. And you should know better by then. You should be writing better.
Yes. Well, I mean, some people just aren't writers, and that's their whole career is that they're not writers, and they never will be. And I'm sorry, if you don't have it, you don't have it, but they're good performers and they can connect with the crowd. And, you know, they're infuriating to follow because you're like, there was no fucking jokes there.
Right. There was they milked the goodwill from the audience. They did a real good job milking. I'm from Wisconsin. That's a milk. Congratulations.
Yeah. You know what I like, but here's the thing. It's different because when it's stand up versus podcast, right? They're two very different things, and people have a stand up persona, and then their podcast personas are going insane. Right? Because stand up's a very contained amount of time, and there are a lot of rules. And then podcast is, you know, as many hours as your Patreons will pay for. Mm-hmm. And so you can start spinning off in a myriad directions, you know,
any which way but loose. And you're right. And they can go long
from it. Then there's no money in stand up right now. And there might not be when it comes back. I mean,
well, there's certainly more money. There's always been more money in selling lies to rubes. And if you use that personality that you have either developed or, I mean, it could be just you had it from the get and then you honed it doing mediocre stand-up for 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. And then you use that personality and those stand-up skills in your podcasting, whatever, to lie to dummies. And get them to give you, you know, $20 a month. And if you can get 1,000 people to do that, it's gravy, right?
To me, like the best part of stand-up is performing for people that don't know who you are and flipping them and making them huge fans, right?
That's something you do love that.
There's a lot of people that are creating fan bases where they're only going to perform in front of those people. Basically, right? Like you'll be able to sell out a room of people that have seen you last time. They're going to see you again, and they listen to your podcast, and your voice is in their head. And maybe we're doing that a little bit too, but not to that level for sure. And so that's a different audience than, you know, you just sauntering on stage and arms crossed and I thought so-and-so was next or whatever. And then you get them. You know, that was always stand up to me for the longest time because no one knew who I was when I was on stage, you know?
Well, and there's so much more respect. Remember how much respect you would get when anyone would say about anyone? It was one of the things that I was always proud to have people say about me is that I could play any room.
Right.
And any room means strangers. I mean, no one knows what the hell you are. You go on stage and they're like, oh, Christ, it's a woman. And I don't want to sleep with that. What's happening? I totally want to sleep with that. I mean, those are the two things that sometimes an audience will see.
Yeah.
And that's true with guys to some extent too, but it's not as much because the audience is mostly dudes, or it was back in the day. And don't start yawning. And
Jackie, please.
We're screwed if you start yawning.
No,
how
we're
was
not.
Your day? What'd you do?
No, we're not screwed. I yawn all the time. I yawn all day long. I'm yawning now because it's 10:15 in a pandemic, which is like 2 a.m. Okay. It's not a function of boredom. It's me staying focused. I'm standing. I'm making myself stand to punish myself for sitting and watching Fran Lebowitz for 7 hours. So, you know, I'm tired.
Did you watch all of it?
Most of it. But wait, before we talk about that.
Okay.
I miss the days where there's always psychos in comedy, right? Yeah. There's always like, you know, you're in a green room and after 15 minutes, like, you know, you're like, what are you into? But then you didn't like see that comic for like 6 more months, or you just heard about them doing crazy stuff on one-nighters and stuff like that. And you didn't have to know about their entire psychotic personality. You could see them perform and then there's no social media, so you're not tracking them, or they're not popping up in your feed. You just didn't think about them. And they were also as psycho as some of these current people are, but we just weren't, you know, like We didn't.
It was one and done. One and done. You would see them, and then you would get a weird feeling when you saw their headline, their headshot 3 months later.
Yeah.
3 months later, you'd see their headshot and go, "Why am I getting a bad?" Because I would be like, "Oh, I don't think I like that person."
Yeah.
And and then the next time I was in a green room with them, I'd be like, "That's why. Oh yeah. Okay. All right then. It's
and also they were. Like, because they're comics, I'm thinking of one guy in particular. You probably don't know this guy, but I'll put his name. He's a Bay Area guy, though, despite his first name.
Oh, I do
you know that guy?
I don't.
Okay. So, total gun nut, you know, and, like, real Republican. Like, and I'm sure on Facebook is hateful. Like, not anyone you would think is charming or anything. But then you meet them in person, and they're really nice, and they're very, you know, they get the job done on stage, and you just go, oh, but part of his brain is that way. But okay, but I can deal with the rest of his brain. But a lot of these comics, I'm not getting, I'm only getting that quarter of the brain that's insane on your feed. I'm not getting you as a person, or a vibe off of you, because I, you know, I don't know you, or I only know you from social media or from your insane podcast. So I don't know. It was easier when you knew less about people a long time ago.
Oh, I used to hang out with this guy until I saw his social media.
I don't know him, but he is somehow legendary.
He's exhausting.
Oh,
and,
okay.
You do not want to. It's he can in person for an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay. This guy is a button pusher and a bit of a nut job, but he's okay. And he does the job, right? He's not a great comic, but he gets up and he does the job. And, you know, how many – I mean, that is it's a cold thing to say about a comic is that they do the job. But it feels like it's also an admission that he does do the job.
Yeah, it's a hard job, actually. So if you can do it, fine. You know, not everyone's going to be groundbreaking.
Right, right. And but he is literally the button pushing is just and lateral arguments and anyway, so and once you see him on social media, you can look at a whole feed of it. You can look at a month of it and you're like, "Oh, this is never getting better."
I have to tell you and maybe we'll take this out cuz I don't want it to out him, but that guy always just by looking at his headshot reminded me of one of the murderers in Fargo.
Oh, you don't have to take that out. Let's never mention his name. Emily Heller could text me. So it's fine. It's fine. Other than that, so I called Lewis because the other people that I had to cancel for this run, this 4 week run, I had not said yes yet. But Lewis, I have said yes to, I believe, 3 times now.
Yeah.
And I've had to cancel it maybe just twice, but whatever it was, I felt bad. And I just wanted to go, man, I don't, you know, is it really happening? Are other people coming through? And the other people he has coming through, I believe, are local. I mean, I think
they don't have to get on a plane.
Right. LAX right now is it's blown up. Blown up.
It's a hot spot.
It's a hot spot. Mm. It is a freaking petri dish, and I don't want to go anywhere near it. So,
yeah, I think like Southwest Airlines at Burbank Airport had like 13 cases. You know,
oof.
Yeah.
Did you see that? There's an LA County website where you could look up.
Yeah.
And because my secret Target, there's a Target right by my house that's kind of in a little weird industrial park.
Yeah.
That no one ever goes to. Or more now than ever before. And 35 people have COVID there, so we haven't been in a month. Yeah. Nope.
Yeah, that's disturbing. I got in a fight on Nextdoor about Michael's because they had an outbreak. You know?
Yeah.
And then someone pops in, "I work at Michael's." And, you know, and then she was like downplaying it completely. I'm like, what are you shilling for them for? They would fucking fire you in a heartbeat. You don't have to be devoted to Michael's.
Right. You don't have to, you don't have to be the company store man.
Yeah. And, you aren't Michael.
Andy went to our neighborhood watch meeting, Zoom meeting today. Wow. He goes every time.
Oh, neat.
And I avoid it every time.
Sure.
And I'm like, you can use my fancy Zoom account and live it up. And there's an officer who comes every time, and it often changes. And this one I kind of listened to as I was playing Animal Crossing. And the officer was just talking and talking. And Andy at one point interrupted her and said, you know, this is all great information, but you didn't answer the question. Just hoping you just answer this one question. And then she answers the question, and then she tries to continue on. And Andy's like, no, that's great. That's perfect. I think we have another question. And so, like, the cops only – she's only there for 1 hour. That's what – that's her obligation as the neighborhood cop. And so she wants to fill that hour and not have to deal – because – and to some extent, it's the same – three things. People are parking in front of my house. Oh, it is literally the only thing. Like Andy said, that if you could promise some of these people that no one would park in front of their house, they would sell out their mothers. And then the other thing are the fireworks. So
I have to jumpstart my mom's car every Tuesday to move it.
Oh, because of the street cleaning?
The battery dies instantly because we have to move. I have to move it once a week, you know?
Right, right. Are you saving it for something?
I don't know what to do with it. I kind of want to, like, should I save it for my kid? You know, I mean, he's 14 and a half, so he'll be driving it a year. And so it's just like a year and a half of jumpstarting a car every Tuesday. That's not a huge obligation.
Right? Or you could come up with $1,700 in 2 years.
I don't want to get him a $1,700. If I
his grandmother's car is a $1,700 car. I've seen that car. Your car is a $1,700.
You with the insults left and right against my cars and my yawning. Have a I'm having a hard week.
Okay.
So this week, Monday, I went in to get my stuff from the office.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had to get a COVID test on Sunday, you know, negative, went in. There's hardly anyone in there. They're having us go in shifts, and we're at the opposite sides of the building, so we're not running into anybody. And
they've broken the Conan show down completely. And you just have to get the stuff out of your desk or your cubby.
Yeah, I'm happy to tell the story, Jackie.
No, but you didn't mention any of the opening stuff, so I just wanted to...
No, I'll get to it. I'll get to it. Trust me. I'll get to it. So I get I'm taking shit out of my office. It's, you know, there's pictures that my son drew when he was four, when I first started working there, that I'm taking down, you know, like it's like 10 years of my life, right? It's hard. And then I got all my shit and I had to make several trips in this little $1,700 Honda, according to you. And so then I'm at my last trip and I'm like, let me just take a final walk around the stage. You know, there's a lot of rituals that went, you know, we had a monologue meeting, Conan's dressing room. We did that twice a day. And then the walk from that area to right behind backstage where we were over the jokes, like that's a 10 year sort of ritual. And so I go to the guard, I go, can I pop in there? He's like, yeah, not if you want to. And I'm like, yeah. So I did. And I almost had a heart attack when I opened the door because I opened the door. What I'm used to seeing is the village that was constructed for us. You know, the dressing rooms, you know, that whole area that you were in many times.
Yeah. Yeah.
The little kitchenette, all the dressing rooms that are attached to it. That was like a basically an apartment building that was built inside the stage. You know, the stage is just this giant warehouse, basically. And then there's the stage of Conan and, you know, the show happens on. And then there's the seats. And then there's all this Conan paraphernalia all over the place. And I walk in. It's all gone. They took a bulldozer to the dressing rooms, that whole area, and just mowed it down. So it just looks like a bomb went off. Everything's gone. It's just this giant open space. I can't even tell where the dressing room was. I can't tell where the backstage area was. Like there was no little there was no closure. There was no final sort of taking it in.
Yeah, you're not getting any. It's really devastating.
No, I mean, when we left in March, it was like, I guess, you know, what, we'll be back in April or something, you know?
Right.
And it's like, I guess that's how Warner Brothers, that's how they do it. That's how they raise the stage. But
that's so weird that they would completely destroy it, because it was, it's still useful. What the hell?
That's, I mean, all that. I'm like, couldn't you just roll plumbing? This someplace and hook up the, because every dressing room had a shower. Like, it was actually like a great dorm. Like, that would be a dorm situation, right? You couldn't put, you couldn't roll that someplace and put some homeless people in it. And, you know,
right. Right.
I don't know.
I know it. I know it. Hey, let's do a Max Fun break.
Welcome back to Fireside Chat on KMAX. With me in studio to take your calls is the dopest duo on the West Coast, Oliver Wong and Morgan Rhodes. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm looking for a music podcast that's insightful and thoughtful, but like also helps me discover artists and albums that I've never heard of.
Yeah, man. Sounds like you need to listen to Heat Rocks. Every week, myself and I'm Morgan Rhodes and my co-host here, Oliver Wong, talk to influential guests about a canonical album that has changed their lives.
Guests like Moby, Open Mike Eagle, talk about albums by Prince, Joni Mitchell, and so much more.
Yo, what's that show called again?
Heat Rocks, deep dives into hot records.
Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Do you want to do the Green Chef?
Do you want me to read the intro?
Yeah, go for it.
Because I made one of mine last night. So good. Green Chef is the first USDA-certified organic meal kit company, the number one meal kit for eating well, Jacqueline and Kyle. Green Chef makes eating well easy and affordable with plans to fit every lifestyle. Feel free. Oh, sorry. I'm going to read the title.
It wouldn't be the same if you didn't.
Yeah, it's a tradition, proud tradition.
Wouldn't that be in a different font?
But here's the good thing is you said you made one last night, right?
Oh, I made the pork. Okay, I don't know how to cook pork. It all frightens me, okay?
Right, right. But it's easy, right? There's pictures.
I mean, earlier this week, I was depressed, and I just ate butter on saltines, and I was like, this is heaven, right? It's all I can handle. It was all I can handle. So, but Green Chef, they give you directions. The directions are written like a Denny's menu where it's all pictures, and I'm like, I got this. Right. So it was pork, and then it was like little cut potatoes, pre-cut, and then some other stuff. And they told me the order to do it, so everything would be ready, finished at the same time.
Right.
So it was really delicious.
I love it because they give you the protein. They give you all the different spices are in their own tiny packet, but it's all in pretty eco-friendly packaging. Like, it's not bottles and stuff. It's just a little baggies. Yeah. And then, like, the thing I made the shrimp bisque. Because I got the keto thing, and I made it, and I thought to myself, you know, it'd be really good with this piece of bread. Mm-hmm. And then I had a piece of bread with it, but that's because I have bread. But the shrimp bisque thing was so delicious, and the spices were interesting, and it was really actually quite wonderful. Anyway, the ingredients come pre-measured, perfectly proportioned, and mostly prepped, so you can spend less time stressing out and more time enjoying delicious home-cooked meals. Green Chef makes eating well, easy and affordable, with plans to fit every lifestyle, whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, or just looking to eat healthier. There's a range of recipes to suit any diet or preference. So I really actually really like this, and I'm looking for, so I made the shrimp one, and then today for lunch, I was like, I'm going to make the balsamic herb chicken. And I did, and it had butternut squash in it, which I don't eat enough butternut squash. I like butternut squash a great deal. Mm-hmm. And what I thought about it afterwards is I was like, okay, well, there's some parts of this. Like the shrimp bisque, I was like, oh, I just kind of want to recreate that myself one day, right? That's the great thing I like about it. With the balsamic, I don't particularly like balsamic, but I like to make it from the recipe the first time and then kind of taste it and go, well, next time when I make, if I were to make it myself, I could put less of that in it anyway. Yeah. So that's what I say. You want to read the last bit?
So guys, come on now. go to greenchef.com/JackieLaurie90. Use the code JackieLaurie90 to get $90 off of free shipping, off including free shipping. The shipping is $90. to get $90 off free shipping, that's greenchef.com/JackieLaurie90 and use the code JackieLaurie90 for $90 off.
Awesome.
Your first order.
We did it. And Yay. Now let's do the comic of the week. Yes, Blair Saki. I can't believe she hasn't been the comic of the week, Blair Saki.
I know. Well, you know what? We say that like every third comic of the week because
Right. Sometimes
we talk about them or we know them and we're like, I'm sure we
don't. We must have put them. But it's just proof positive that there are so many great comics out there. And
so many, yes.
Mm-hmm. Blair Saki is one of them. She is, it's quirky and smart. It's like yes. silly and smart, which is kind
Very
of my
personal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Love it. And yeah. You guys, is it at Blair Saki? S-O-C-C-I?
Yeah.
BLAIRSOCCI. Find her. Make her your own.
Do it.
By buying all of her things.
I don't want to say this because I'm sure everyone always says it about her, but she's got a great fucking voice.
Okay.
She's got a great voice.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, it's a gift from God.
Live it up, sister. And so I did a KO show. With Deborah DiGiovanni.
Oh, yay. Those are so fun. They get a ton of people.
It's because it's free. But they also do a nice vetting thing because you have to RSVP through kocomedy.com or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and they have like four shows a week.
Yeah.
And whoever was hosting was talking to this guy, Ruben, in the audience. You know, you can see everybody's name on Zoom.
Right.
And she was like, Ruben, this is the third time you've seen me this week. I'm still working on the same material. And I love how high you are because you're going to laugh at it again. And he unmuted himself and said, I don't always remember. And I just think it's great every time.
That's awesome.
So fair enough.
So yeah, we got to keep zooming for the Rubens, Jackie.
I know. We got to do it because that's what they need. So I have a couple of new bits that I'm pretty psyched about.
Yeah.
And I also got two emails about what I should be doing with my Spotify artist page. So get on that, Jackie. And then don't forget to do your Pandora amp call to action. That call to action is, hey, I'm not going on the road. Feel free to buy my existing work. So. Yeah.
I will be at Flappers on January 22nd, 7 p.m. show. I'm headlining.
Yeah.
So I'm doing like a full set.
That's awesome.
So please log into that. You can see some new stuff and some old standards, guys.
That's it. So the upcoming Friday, go to flappers.com/whatever and find Lori Kilmartin's Friday night show. Is it a 7 o'clock? Do you know?
I'll be, of course, be tweeting.
Probably.
About it.
Yeah, you'll be tweeting about it. That's good. I'm doing Uncab next Sunday, which will be fun. Mm. I know
so,
Beth.
So you're like storytelling. It seems like that specifically needs that room space, you know?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I mean, you know, the Ron Vai punchline show.
Yeah.
And you see, you know, that couple, that older couple who comes to every show?
Yeah.
The guy with the mustache.
The punchline couple. Yeah.
They're adorable.
Oh, they're great. They went to, I've seen them myriad times.
That's what I want the entire Zoom for Uncab to be, that couple. I want 40 of that couple. It'd be great. But
yeah,
I don't know.
That room, the way it's set up, it really kind of lures you into revealing more than you intended. That's what I meant. Like, of course.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know what I'll work on for that, except for, you know, what I've noticed about Uncab in the last probably 6 years or so is that Beth is cooler. She's all right with sort of working on longer bits. So it's kind of great. Like, she wants it to be newish and she wants it to be personal because that's the kind of stand-up she likes, you know? But it's not there's I used to feel a great deal of pressure for it to be brand new.
Right. Yeah.
And it, you know, anyway.
I wasn't in LA when that was like sort of the thing you had to do, like come up with a new story every single time. That would drive me. That would be hard for me.
Yeah, it was. It was intense. It was sort of, and it was that late 90s. I didn't really do it very much in the late 90s because it was the hottest show in the city.
Yeah, it was like, it was Janine Garofalo. That to me, she personified that show, right?
Right, right. She always did it when she was in town. There was something in a basement in New York that was just like it.
Let's see. There were so many little shows in New York. There was one in this room that was very pink on the Lower East Side.
Lower East Side.
Number 11.
Jesus. I can't remember the name of it, but all I remember is that every time I'd go to New York, and I used to go in the 90s, I would go to New York for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Stay with a friend of mine, try to go up as many places as possible to remind people I existed. And so Uncab kind of had that. And there were cool kid shows because, mm-hmm. and I know.
A Collective Unconscious, maybe?
No.
Does that sound right?
No, it doesn't. But that sounds like it ought to be something right there for sure. And, but it's the same, you know, if we were still doing, you know, like whenever anybody says, hey, I'm moving to Los Angeles to do stand-up and to break into the scene, what would you recommend? I always say, don't tell the bookers that you're moving here. Tell them that you're just in town to visit, and then you'll get to do as many cool kid shows in the beginning. You'll get to meet as many people as possible. And then a week or two later, you're like, oh, yeah. And you'll see them again. They're like, oh, are you still in town? You're like, you know what? I've decided to stay. And then you won't get up on that stage for another 3 to 6 months because it's super cool. But you will have made a good first impression, hopefully. You will have, you know, and gotten to meet everybody. I'm actually looking forward to that on Uncab because I've got a couple new stories, which quarantine stuff, and I've got, you know, I've got sort of vaguely political stuff, but nothing new since March. So these two things they feel just more regular stand-up. Like there's that bit about poor people food.
Oh, yeah,
that's the thing I'm working on. And then this other thing about me reading a lot of Civil War history. Huh? Who doesn't want to hear about that?
Yes. Anyway.
So we'll see. We'll see. I might do Joke Machine with Morales on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be kind of fun.
I have this idea that it's, you know, we're working on for Conan. All I can tell you is I just need a voiceover artist, you know, to do some voices. And the people that submitted were Juliet Mills and Maxwell Caulfield.
Okay.
Like, what? Oh my God. So they did it and they were amazing. So yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Bananas.
I was going to say my vision board has voiceover. Want to do?
Oh, I needed a British accent.
Oh, fair. Oh, yeah. And I can't do accents. Let's just put that out there. You get my dad voice, and that's it.
But what if it would sound like if we did hear your accents?
Oh, you could fuck right off. I see where you're going. I see what you're trying to do.
I'd like to talk to British Jackie.
I feel like a schizophrenic. Let me talk to the spooky one. Anyway, hey, the reason I said I watched WandaVision last night.
Oh, I gotta watch that.
Super weird and fun.
Yeah.
Though, because essentially, like, if you haven't watched all of Marvel, you're just like, it's just weird. Okay. If you have watched all of Marvel, you're like, what? What's happening? What's the other thing? Why are they stuck in a Bewitched episode or whatever? Anyway, but super fun. But today, I decided to watch, my friend Martha suggested that I watch something called Ghosts on HBO Max. Mm-hmm. British, it's a BritBox thing that happens to be on HBO Max. And it's a sitcom about a woman who meets ghosts. Like, it's a ghost sitcom. And it is, and then the other one was What We Do in the Shadows, the sitcom. Yeah.
Oh, is that Taika Waititi?
He directed the movie and EP'd on the show, but it's a bunch of other people took over for the TV version.
Okay. But it's Flight of the Conchords guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so so the TV show was that's about vampires, and Ghosts is about ghosts, and they're both sitcoms, essentially. Mm-hmm. And they both have the same problem. And I was like, but just keep watching. Like, I'm not genre itself is so hard for me. I used to love sitcoms so much, and I have a harder time with them now. But the ghost one, actually, I'm in by episode 3. I think I'm going to have to watch a couple more episodes. I watched 3 episodes of the Shadows one, and I think I'm going to have to watch 5 or something.
Okay.
Anyway.
You know what I did watch?
What did you watch?
Industry.
Nope.
Oh my God. There's a lot going. I recommend it, but it's they're great actors, and there's tons of sex, tons and drugs. And I'm like, are people really living lives like this? Like, I don't know, maybe they are. Is this how finance people really live? But maybe they do. I don't know.
Some of them, I'm sure.
But it's good and not good, but I liked it enough where I watched it religiously until it ended, and I would watch a season 2 as soon as possible.
Well, then I think you liked it.
Yeah. I mean, none of the characters are good people.
That's the problem with the Shadows and the Ghosts. I don't like any of these bastards.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're all assholes. Who am I rooting for here?
Right. But it's not assholes in a Seinfeld way where you're just disconnected from everybody and laughing at them. Because sometimes you're like, oh, I like what this thing. And then you're like, oh, she lied or she did this or that. And then it's like, ugh. I don't know.
I connected a little bit more with with the main character in the 3rd episode of Ghosts. And then I connected slightly more with the female woman vampire in the 3rd episode of The Vampire Show. Hmm. But not a lot. She's still kind of a real piece of work. And I don't know what I want out of my sitcoms. Because that's the format. The format is unlikable people get into wacky situations and then we like them anyway, and then they remind us of our families.
Yes, but I would say, like, Dick Van Dyke, very likable guy, right?
Super likable.
Very likable. So I think you could really like Sam from Cheers, incredibly likable. Like, I think you can have a main character that's not so...
Wanda, I'll tell you something, is Elizabeth... What's Olsen. Her last name?
Olsen,
thank you. Elizabeth Olsen nails the accent. The 50s sitcom, 50s, 60s sitcom.
Oh, really?
Accent. Like, chef's kiss to the, and whoever did her hair, it was still great. Hey, let's do another break, and then I was going to ask you something.
Hey, I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin. Together, we're The Flophouse,
a podcast where we watch a bad movie and then talk about it.
Movies like Space Hobos, Into the Outer Reaches of the Unknown and the Things That We Don't Know, the movie, and also Who's That Grandma?
Zazzle Zippers, Breakdown 2, and Backhanded Compliment.
Elvis is a Policeman.
Baby Crocodile and the Happy Twins.
Leftover Potatoes?
Station Wagon 3.
Herbie Goes to Hell.
New episodes available every other Saturday.
Available at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye. Bye.
We should talk about Fran.
Yeah, that was it. That's what I wanted to ask you about. Fran Lebowitz. I watched the first 4 episodes, and then I read a powerful article about just an interview with her during COVID, because that series was shot before COVID.
Yeah.
And then here we are.
What did she say in the article that,
one of my favorite things that she said in the article, she was talking about how, she doesn't mind COVID because she's always wanted enough time to read. And so she has always wanted just to, oh, you can't go out. No, you have to read all these books. But she does miss browsing bookstores, but she doesn't have a computer because she's a Mennonite.
Total Mennonite, yeah.
Yeah, and so she has her friends do it, and then she gives them money. And but what I loved was her she said, you know what I think is interesting is that the people who say that they hate New York.
Yeah.
She's like, I wish they would just leave. You can complain about New York and still love it. And it's fine. Why would you stay somewhere that you hate? And that's exactly what I feel about Los Angeles. I love Los Angeles. I'll complain about Los Angeles from here to the ocean. And but everyone who says, I hate LA, I'm just like, hey, don't let the door hit you, man. It's I would never say that to, like, if I went to some, if someone told me, hey, I'm from Seattle and I hate LA, I would never say, have you looked around Seattle? What a shit town. That'd be the weirdest thing for me to say. I like Seattle. Seattle's fine. And if I chose to live there, I would learn to love it because it would be surrounded by the people that I enjoy.
Oh, so depressing and rainy. Oh, I love it. I would love Seattle.
Okay. I wish Andy had some interest in moving to Milwaukee and we were fabulously wealthy enough to have another house. Granted, you wouldn't have to be fabulously wealthy to have
Milwaukee. You could sell the Encino house and pay cash for a house in Milwaukee, right? And not have any sort of rent, do you think? Or the sorry.
I was going to say, that seems ambitious that this is now Encino where I live. we could, except for that I'm never moving again.
Yeah, I mean, then you're stuck there. Like, yeah. I keep looking at houses in Big Bear, California. They're so fucking cheap compared to, you know, and yeah, it's just an easy 90-minute drive.
except for when it snows, and then you're trapped in Big Bear.
Or fine.
But very, very pretty, super pretty.
Yeah.
Max Fun does a very nice retreat up there for a weekend every year. And one day we will be part of that.
Yep. Here's the thing. I don't think I finished with a Fran thing. I just watched like five of them tonight, but it's funny that, you know, she's obviously not online. Right. And she's not just part of this culture. And like all of her references are kind of old. Like so I forget what she was comparing it to, but she's like the Ayatollah Khomeini. And I'm like, what? Hey, that happened in 77 and he died like 20 years ago. Why is that your go-to reference?
She doesn't even get three newspapers. That's so weird to me that she wouldn't, because doesn't she seem like the person who would get like the Times, the Wall Street Journal and
but also it's not going to be implanted in your head like it is during a certain time in your life. Right. Like, your go-to references maybe are from your 20s or 30s, right? And then they sort of stay there. And then, like, I have to work to make sure I'm not, you know, likening things to things that are 20 years old and just having people go, what? Who's Jane Fonda, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever, you know what I mean? But she just a couple times where I was like, interesting. Like, I forgot what she compared it to. She compared it to a battered woman who wouldn't leave her husband.
Yes. And
I was like, I know what you're doing, but that wouldn't fly right now.
It happened right now. But it's
But she's offline. So she's not aware of all this going.
Right. She doesn't know that the line is real blurry. She did talk about that waitress thing. That was in that episode.
Yeah. But it reminded me of how up until recently, a lot of white people would like go, oh, it's like being a slave, right? You would, and just recently, it's like, that maybe isn't the comparison we should be making, right?
Right.
And same with like battered women stuff, you know, but I don't know.
It isn't the hippest thing she's ever said. Let's just say And but what surprised me in that made me think to myself, I find her very, very funny. Yes. I think that she would be, and clearly Martin Scorsese is full on in love with Brent Leibowitz. Yeah. And, but I will say that she seems like a pill. And I will say that the one thing that she did say that I literally was like, oh, I don't want to be you ever. And I mean, and there are very few people I would want to be because I'm happy enough being me. But there are some people I was like, if I wasn't so happy being me, I'd want to be them. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, Brie Larson comes to mind anyway. So because okay. she's pretty cool yeah. anyway. But the she said at one point that she when she grew up, she. I'm going to fuck it up, but it was like she never did art or music or she loved jazz and she loved all these things, but she never did it because she wasn't going to be good enough. And I was like,
well, she wasn't going to be good. Remember her
good.
Yeah. Like her mother said, if you practice more, you'll be good. And she said, no, I'll be better, but I won't be good.
That was it. And yeah. I was like, but if you get some sort of joy, like sometimes I like to draw. I'm not good at it, but I'm better at it than when I don't draw at all, right? Because and it's fun for me, and so I felt that kind of hurt my heart when she said that because I was like, you should do the thing that you like to do, not because you're going to be good at it, but because you like to do it.
From what to me, I felt like she was saying music is a special talent.
Yeah.
And if she was going to try, like practice, she wanted to be really, really good at it versus right. maybe she didn't feel that way about drawing. Cause she did mention that she drew or she sang badly and stuff like that. But I think she put music in a different category from all the other arts.
They showed that clip of an interview where she was talking to somebody about a sports being an art form.
Spike Lee. That's who that was.
I have that face thing where I don't know who anybody is. I probably couldn't pick Brie Larson out of a she just seems super fit and willing to do some sit-ups. Anyway, I don't
down know. Girl.
Wow, committed a monogamous relationship over here. What's happening? Anyway, but I think that, yeah, well, because there's things that she values. Obviously, she values the jazz musician. She values the Picasso. I did love what she said about people applaud the price and not the art. Oh, God,
that was so great. Yeah.
I never even thought of that. That's key Fran Lebowitz right there. That's why Fran Lebowitz works.
And her brain is still sharp and as fast as ever. Like, and she talks so fast. I'm like, she's not losing. I feel like she'll be this on top of shit when she's 80 and 90 years old.
I hope so.
What a life where she just gets to go and speak. And it's all like, cause you're always sitting with a moderator. So they basically, they throw you setups and you do your slam dunk punchlines and then say goodnight. Like you don't even have to carry the show by yourself. Fucking dream.
Did you watch that other Martin Scorsese love letter to Fran Lebowitz, the documentary from like 10 years ago?
No.
There's another one.
Really?
He's like, literally, he just wants to sit somewhere and talk to her. And I think it's adorable.
Where's that one? Is that also on Netflix?
I believe it's on HBO.
Okay.
I will find it. And all I know is there was, like, she literally was talking about how the theater... Everyone in the theater died, right? The gay community was decimated in the 80s because of AIDS, right?
Right.
And she said, if some of her friends who passed away in the 80s were alive now, and she could say to them, guess who's famous?
Right.
And then she literally says the words Nathan Lane. She's like, could you imagine? They would die of embarrassment again.
Oh my God.
You're like, Jesus. And so she'll say anything. And I think it helps that she's not online.
Yeah, sure.
There's no repercussions at all.
So. No, it's really good. And it's nice just to see a person like that doesn't seem to give a fuck. And wouldn't want to pose with you for a selfie and wouldn't even want a compliment from you.
I had never heard of you before today, and she's like, great icebreaker, great introductory. Yeah, so she was, I mean, she is sharp as a tack and really, really funny. But some of the stuff I thought was just sort of weirdly grumpy. Like not like some of it, it was all very sharp and pointed, and some of it was better than others.
Yeah, there's that, I never want to fall into this trap, I hope I don't, that thing of automatically hating young people because you don't know what they're doing, but it's not like what you did when you were that age, you know?
Yeah.
So you think, oh, they don't have that. They don't have, you know, well thought out criticism. What? They probably do. Maybe, yeah, you know, I don't know.
It turns out there are idiot younger people than yourself, but there are idiot people our age. So it's going to be fine. The snap judgment. Yeah, I hope to avoid. Did I ever tell you that I once said to Karen Rontowski, I just don't want to be judgmental. And she laughed for almost 25 seconds. And I was like, what? And she said, you're one of the most judgmental people I've ever met. And
Karen Rontowski, I got in a fight on Nextdoor with somebody who then DM'd me, you know, we in real life. I performed on Karen Rontowski's show. I'm like, oh shit.
does she work at Michael's?
No, but, and she goes, somebody else DM'd me and they said, oh, that's just Lori's personality.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
I'm like, well, there's discussions happening about me. But she posted some bullshit about a Burbank city councilman who's a socialist or a democratic socialist. And so Nextdoor skews very old or very conservative. So they think he's like, you know, Karl Marx, right? And
Bolshevik.
Yes. So what she posted was incorrect. And then the link she gave to prove her argument was explained, like, it's like, no, if you've read your link, you'd see that you were wrong. And so people started pointing that out to her, like, hey, actually, if you read what you said, then you'll know you're wrong. And I didn't know I knew her. And I just said, you should take this post down because it's misinformed. You know, politicians are being fucking almost assassinated by people getting riled up. And if you look at the comments, they're all starting to be like, oh, because they're not reading things thoroughly. And then she took it to DMs and I was like, oh, you're exhausting me.
Did she take it down?
She edited it, but not completely. And then it was like the threads of misinformation. And I was like, am I doing this? I'm just trying to correct everybody that on
yeah,
this
that's
thread.
Exhausting like, too. Yeah.
And I was like, why? Like, I'm trying to pay attention to my body physically when I start getting in on things on Twitter or Nextdoor, like, this isn't good for me. And I probably am not changing anyone's minds.
Right. Did you go for a swim today?
I did. Yes.
Let's leave it on that.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.